Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Pastor Rhonda Bello with Positive Power 21 Live Radio Ministry.
Amen. We welcome everyone here today for our Bible study. And before we begin, we're going to do prayer. Before everyone came in, Pastor and I were listening to Pastor Donnie McClurkin, who was talking really on the 23rd Psalm. And one thing that we need to understand is that the Lord is always with us. And some people believe that they can't get uplifted until they get to church. They don't understand that God is always around them. So as we open up, what we're going to do, which is a little bit different, usually I pray, but I want all of us to pray for ourselves, because if we're in any type of valley right now, we want the Lord to lift us up. Now, mind you, this valley is going to strengthen us to be able to do the destiny that God wants for us. And with anything, once you're down, you're going to go back up. So we want to get out of whatever valley that we're in now. So as I facilitate, I want you to pray so you get out the valley that you know that you're in. It could be financial valley, marital valley, emotional valley. It could be whatever type valley that you're in at this particular time before we begin our Bible study. Father God, we ask you today, Lord. Lord God, we ask you to hear our prayers, hear our petitions, hear our requests, Lord. Lord God, the valleys that we're in now, each and every one right now, Lord, is sending up their prayers to you, Lord. Lord God, we ask you to look over them, bless them, lift them up out of the miry clay. Lord God, set them apart from each and every person. Let everyone know that they are your child. Lord God, we ask you to now to bless them, bless them. We already know, Lord, that the scripture says that we are here to live, not any type of life, but to live more abundantly. Lord God, we ask you to open up your heavens right now and shower down that abundancy on them. Is that abundancy to lift them up out the valley? Is it finances? Lift their finances. Lord, if it's marital, lift their marital. Lord God, some people are seeking jobs. We know right now, right now, right now, by just calling upon your name and spreading the blood of Jesus, that we know that you have said amen over each and every circumstance. Lord God, we know you are God of yesterday. We know you are God of today. And we know that you are God of tomorrow. Lord God, we ask you today, today, Lord, right now, by your mighty name, to spread the blood of Jesus all over us. That blood that's going to protect us as we go to and fro for work. That blood that is going to lift us up out of whatever valley that we're in. That blood that's going to protect our children wherever they may be, wherever they may go. That blood that's coming and shed over our household. So when we're coming in, we're blessed. When we're leaving out, we're blessed. The blood of Jesus, that wherever we plant our hands, that it's blessed. Wherever that you have set our destiny, we're going to be blessed. Lord God, we ask you now to take all the honor, take all the glory, and take all the admiration. In your precious name we pray. Amen. We can all be seated. We know last week we were starting into the actual third chapter of Proverbs. And I'm telling you, if no one knows, prayer works.
Yes.
It's not because I've heard about prayer works. It's because I've seen that prayer works. And the reason I say that is because you can go through your memory at any given time and think of a situation that you don't even know how you got out of. You don't even know how it started. You don't know how in the world you overcame it. But you just know God was there. And he walked you and escorted you right on out of that situation. Prayer is not an actual title that you can say that it only works for now. Prayer continues to cover you through generations and generations and generations. Pastor and I heard about a young lady that was singing a song that her grandmother kept continuing to pray for her, and that's what got her out of the situation that she was in.
So when we're praying for our children, that prayer covers them even for tomorrow, 10 years from now, 20 years. That prayer is constantly covering them. People always ask, well, Pastor Ron, I've been praying and praying. I don't know what else to do. I tell them the truth. Only thing I know is prayer, and I know it works, and I know it says in the Bible that it works. So that's what we're going to continue to go by, because everything that God has written is written there because it is true. So we're going to keep continuing to pray. So that's why it's important to have your prayer room. You need that battle room, that room where you already know you already sanctified it. Everything in there is covered by the blood, and when you walk in, God knows that, okay, I need to send some angels down to this Rungle household, and I need to send some angels down to Bellows household. I need to get these angels down because they have stepped into the war room. They are ready and they are battling, because we know whatever we're battling is spiritual.
Yes.
It's not flesh. If it was for flesh, we could have been one. We would have been already millionaires, sitting in our mansion, driving our Rolls Royce, because if it's physical flesh, we would already won, but it's not. So we have to make sure that we elevate ourselves to the spiritual world to be able to see. We went to a Bible study last week with my cousin, and he said something that hit the nail on the head. We have to take a position. Anytime you want to know what's going on, you have to be above it to see what's going on. You can't be underneath. You have to be above it to see what's going on. And the only way you're going to get above it is through prayer for God to lift you up to be able to see what's going on. And as we go into it, we're going to go to just rewind again what we watched last week about battling the spirits and being able to call upon the name of Jesus. I told him about another person that I was just looking up, and the Lord placed him on my heart, which is Travis Green. And Travis Green, he died twice. He was born stillborn. But his mother was a minister, and she believed in nothing else but prayer. And she took her baby, and she prayed over her baby, and breath came back into him. Mm-hmm. Then, at the age of 4, fell out a 4-story window, mm-hmm. and they had pronounced him dead and put this white sheet over him. But his mother took him up, and Pastor, listen to her. She called the name of Jesus 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
But when she said, the blood of Jesus, he actually came back to a life. And he's been doing nothing but evangelizing for God. Even when he was in college, he had thousands of souls that he had escorted to come back to Jesus, because he understood what Jesus had told him. He said that he remembered when he was falling, but a hand came and grabbed him and did not let him hit the ground, but told him, do you want to go with your mother? Or do you want to go with me? And at the age of 4, of course, all the children want to be with their parents. So he said, I want to go with my mother. He said, well, let me tell you this. The next time you want to go with me. I told Pastor, I said, you know what? That right there, to me, most people would have seen it as, oh, that's a threat. I gotta live my life. I can't worry about getting in an accident, because if I die, I'm going to see Jesus. No, that right there, if that was told to me right now, that means I already got a place in heaven. I already got a seat, because he already knows how he's going to guide my footsteps so I'll be able to evangelize and spread the word of him. So that right there is not a threat. That right there is something that's comforting, that knows that Jesus has already got his eye on you. We was talking about how David was his favorite, how Job, he said, was his blessed one that they knew that he believed in God. It's something when God lets you know that you are my chosen. That is something right there of its own. And when we know that, we are already secure. So we should never have to worry about finding a pastor. I need a prayer. Oh, let me find a pastor. The pastor. It says in the Bible that we should be able to pray.
Yes.
We come here on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. And every day we should already be praying and getting that direct connection with God, where before you can finish the prayer, God has already dispatched his angels down, because he already knows that connection that you have with him. So that's why it's so important for us to continue to keep praying. So we're going to go into it, and then, of course, we'll always leave at the end for Pastor to come up so he can bless us out. But we're going to see again that last part, because it's so powerful how she's telling her how to really just girdle yourself up, collect yourself, understand who you are. You are a child of God. Some of us go around and we're walking with our hands down. I've heard this and y'all heard this. You tell people, how you doing? Oh, I'm holding on. What are you holding on to? Tell me what you're holding on to. Because whatever it is, it ain't working. Give it up. Toss it back. Back to sender. So we have to understand that people are watching us. You know, it doesn't hurt anything to open up your mouth and say, God bless you. May the Lord be with you. Even if you think that you can't utter that, just say good morning. But we have to let them know that God is shining in our life because we are the walking, talking testimony. This right now, whatever situation we might be going through, is temporary. Yes. God already knew we were going through it, and he put us through it like he did Job because he knew we could take it.
Yes.
So we have to remember that we are his chosen, we are his children, and we right now happen to be the leader that's here in this church, so we have to be powerful because the devil wants the leadership. You know, if you don't know nothing else, when you go into battle, you go into a fight, you look for that head person, because if you take down the head, you can take down everything else.
Yeah.
So if you've been in leadership, you have to always remember that you're part of the head, and you don't want the spirit to take you down. So you want to make sure that you're always constantly in grace with God and continue to pray. So this is the one that we have seen. Last week, and the title of it was Gospel and Grace, and it was part of the War Room. And those that's on Blog Talk, I understand that you can't see it, but you should be able to hear it once I get it pulled up on the screen.
In light of all these things, that God still loves him.
You don't know yet.
Do you?
Now we're starting to meddling. There's love in my heart for him. But it's just buried under a lot of frustration.
So he needs grace.
Great. I don't know that he deserves grace.
Do you deserve grace?
Mm-hmm. Because you have a habit of backing me up in a corner and making me squirm.
I have the same thing. But the question still remains. Then you can turn yourself to the real enemy.
Okay.
The one that wants to remain in you, the one that wants to distract you, deceive you, and divide you from the Lord and your husband. That's how it works. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is stealing joy. He is killing your faith. And he's trying to destroy you. If I were you, I would get my heart right with God. And you need to do your fighting prayer. And you need to take the real evening out of your home with the word of God. It's time for you to fight a little bit. It's time for you to fight for your family. It's time for you to fight a bit. It's time for you to take off the gloves and do it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Now, we all know that Alvin Clare in the church that walk up to everybody and tell them about fighting and spiritual. We have our Alvin Clare that's sitting behind Pastor Bello. That's the one we have. They should have made a good one in the movie. They wouldn't even have to give her a script. She'd be like, I already know what I need to say. Now we're turn to Ephesians chapter 2, right, verses 4 through 9. If we can have someone to read that.
4 through 9. Mm-hmm. Well, God, yes. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Okay. For God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, was rich in love. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up together. And may not sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. Verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, which is the gift of God.
Yes.
Not of what, lest anyone should boast.
Amen. Amen. Now, as we go into our discussion today, it says, why is it so important to understand God's grace as an is on 31. In the middle, it says, discuss the following to begin your group study today. Why is it so important to understand God's grace as an unmerited gift of his favor and kindness? Does anyone want to start the discussion on that one? What it's saying is we know that grace is something that he gives us. It's not something that can be bought. It's not something that we can make a bargain with. That's something that where he shows us his favor and shows us his kindness. Evangelist.
We know that from the beginning of age, that pain. We have sinned not through ourselves, but through our forefathers, Adam. And because of that mutual sin that leads to mutual death, every other human being, as a progenitor of Adam and Eve, we are already sinners because we are conceived in that sin. That's mutual sin. So, knowing fully well that there's nothing that can compensate or that can assuage that sin except only one person. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And even before Jesus Christ did it, we all know that we have all sinned already, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And that is why in the Old Testament, God was asking the children of Israel to purify themselves as a result of all the other things, like killing of rams and goats and birds. But we all know that how many times has a human being sinned? Not 10 times, not 20 times a day. So where does any human being get money buying goats and cows and breeding all this stuff? And that's why God sent his only begotten son. That is only the unblemished, unperishable blood of Christ that can turn away the wrath, the anger of God away from us. And if Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, who was not born in sin, would have to lay down his life, which one of us deserves what he has done? What can we give him to
to compensate for what you did. Nothing. That's why grace is so important for us to understand that we cannot work for it ever from yet to eternity. If we keep on working, we cannot merit it. And the reason why we have to appreciate it is that while we're still sinning, even right now that we're still sinning, the blood of Jesus has already covered it. Because on the cross it says it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the sin that we have committed in the past, but the one that you are about to commit, that you probably didn't even know because of the temptation along the way. There will be trespasses, there will be iniquities, and Jesus has already covered that too.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to lose ourselves in that grace. Not abuse it, not misuse it, but to realize that it cost somebody. It cost God everything. Jesus is everything God has. That's all God's virtue, all God's glory. He gave it up for you and I that we are sinners, trespassing and still wallowing in sin. So it's very important to understand that there's nothing we can do to merit it. And we have to appreciate it and not abuse it so that we can keep on working for us. Because Apostle Paul said, should we continue in sin so that grace can abound? No! How long are we going to say, don't sin? By the time we sin 10 times, even God will say, I'm giving you those times.
Using all my blood.
Yes. You keep on saying that you're sorry. You're not sorry. You are deliberately doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It has become iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
So grace is very important for us to appreciate.
Right. Before we go to Pastor Runga, I wanted to highlight.
I only want to support now.
I know. I wanted to highlight on.
Let me just stand. He is great. He is the first shot of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
From the time of Adam, he is the second Adam that came. He knows. If you go to Genesis 6:5, he looked down from heaven, saw that the wickedness of man continually. He knows the sin that we are going to commit tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So like she rightly said that we should not continue in that thing that the grace might abound. You know, that grace is really, if you look at your life, is there anyone that have not sinned? If your wife doesn't make you sin, your children will make you sin, the driver on the road will make you sin. Sometimes not intentionally, it's not that you wanted to go. When you raise your voice, sometimes it is the work of the devil. That is what he does. He's a liar. He knows how to divide, you know. He knows how to take your mind, just forget. So if you think, because we are not perfect, that is why that grace is there. No one is perfect.
Amen. Key points that each one of y'all pulled out. One was the past. He doesn't let the past follow us. Two is that the blood of Jesus is what covers us, and that's the life. The blood in blood is life. And then three, what I read earlier today, sin is an addiction. If you had to categorize it, they categorize it as an addiction. And how they broke it down as an addiction, they say people drink because they're addicted. They feel that this is what I need. Their body feels this is what I need. People that use drugs is the same way. They feel that this is what my body needs. And sin is the same way, because your body craves what the devil is telling you. So your body feels this is right. This is what I need. And we have to understand, like Pastor Robert said, that any and everything at any given time will make us sin. We are flesh. And we do it, and then, like you said, we have to step back and say, you know, Lord, forgive me. Because the devil can pose in so many ways. He can get through your children. He can get through you at your job. Why are you going out? Why are you seeing people when you was out that day? He can go through all types of avenues to get through you. But that's why God has given us that unmerited gift of his favor and his kindness. Our next one is, why is a work-based understanding of salvation wrong? Which is, they said that the basic underline of salvation is wrong. Because we know in church that salvation is through many different, you just can't come through the church and say, oh, I went to church, you go to work the next day, I went to church and I found all my salvation. I found it all in one day, I got it all, I'm good now.
You can't do that. That's the underlying base that they're talking about. And with the grace that he gives us, it enables us day by day by day to be able to continue to go towards the goal, because we're all here for a mission and a purpose. And I was discussing with Pastor that it's so enlightening once you find it. Bishop T.D. Jakes, he did a lot of things. Once he discovered that he was more of a teacher, every conference he does that he's teaching is sold out. Mm-hmm. Pastor Donnie McClurkin is a singer. Mm-hmm. Every place he goes is sold out. Once you discover what God has destined for you, he's going to lead your path. And everybody might say, oh, it's hard. I don't know what it is. Okay, it's hard because we're not used to just standing still and listening. We get impatient. We want stuff now. In other words, Lord, I know you're there, but I need to help you out because I need something right now. If we just do what it says, our life will be so much more. We're supposed to live life abundantly. He said that. He didn't say we're supposed to live in sickness. He didn't say that we're supposed to live from paycheck to paycheck. He said abundantly. And that means when he says abundant, that's infinite that he's telling us that we're supposed to live. Who would like to answer the third one, which says, why would human pride tend to choose a work-based salvation? So why would yourself, in other words, get in the way of your salvation? We'll go past the runga first.
Our appointment would be set righteousness. And we think you walk, you are walking with church, or you are doing good, you are doing this. That is salvation. That is not salvation. Salvation, like we talked about, what's the first question?
Oh, the first question was how important is the understanding of God's grace as an unmerited gift?
Yes, salvation. You still believe that you have to. One on one. You have to earn it. No. Let me sidetrack. There's nothing you do in this world that would say I did this. That's why I'm going to heaven. It has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has already done for you. Then you can walk, but it's not enough. Then you go back again or again. There's nothing in this world that will you say. I did it on my own. I merited this on my own. He's already done it. Like our pastor now, whatever his position, my position today, is the Spirit of God. If you didn't have Jesus Christ, you couldn't have been there. You couldn't have done it on your own.
Amen.
I don't know, but I wanted to comment on the second one first. But since you've answered that,
well, you can go back and comment. Yeah. because it's Bible study. We're all learning from each other.
First of all, it says, why is it work based on the telling of salvation wrong? What I understood by salvation has three components, and I call it the ABC of salvation. You can walk from life to eternity and be not be saved.
Yes.
Because salvation is, first of all, acknowledging that you're a sinner and you need a savior. You need a savior. You need a savior.
Yeah. Amen.
Everybody that does not acknowledge that they're sinners, they're lying to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just get the grace of God by still saying I'm good. Yeah. And that means you're telling that if you're good,
mm-hmm.
that will add you that salvation.
Right.
Which is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Second component of the salvation is to believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father.
Yeah.
That he came in the flesh and he died on the cross and he was buried and he resurrected after the third day.
Amen.
And the third one is that after you have accepted that you are a sinner, you are going to receive the Son of God as your Lord and Savior, Pastor Savior, and that you believe that he's the only Son of the Father, the begotten Son, not like any one of us were born. We were born by a woman. He was born by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the fourth one is that if you are not ready to confess him as the Lord of God, the King of Kings, your salvation is not there.
Mm-hmm.
It is not working hard, diligently. No, all the work in this life by anybody, apostle, folk, will not earn them the salvation. You have to accept your sinner. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, came in flesh, emanated by the Spirit of God, and that you are ready to confess him as the Lord and Savior. If that three components are not there,
want to help him from morning to 7 from 9 to 12. No salvation is there for you.
Amen.
Talking about the third one.
Oh, wait, no, she was talking about the third.
The third one. Every human being, like you, I was called self-aggrandizement. Oh, I can do all this by myself. I'm a very hardworking person. I've never stolen. I've never killed anybody. But you got me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, you know. When you steal, you steal time, even if it's no money.
Yeah.
When you steal time from your boss, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You are stealing money. Because your hours have been calculated in dollars and cents.
That's true.
And every human being has what is called ego. Nobody wants to believe that they need help. Oh, so a lot of us, asking for help is a weakness. Whereas if we are not asking God for help, where will our help come from? Someone says, I will lift up my eyes onto the earth. From whence cometh my help? Our help does not come from pastor. Pastor help us join us in prayer.
Yes.
It doesn't come from Pope of Italy.
No.
It comes from God. Not even from your father that gave you back. Because you can only do so much. Maybe after you get it, you will not get you the job. Only the grace of God will find help you find that job after you can get it. Because there are some people with PhD, they don't have a job.
Hey.
I don't know, but they're qualified.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the next little grace that they need, they haven't seen. So a lot of us need to, it is called the pride of life. I am here. I got a PhD. I am the master of this. I'm the master of that. All that does not mean anything to God.
Yeah.
If you do not submit yourself, if you do not humble yourself before the grace of God,
amen.
So that in due time, He can elevate you, He can promote you.
Amen.
You have seen people that have no education, but they are ruined. And people that have all the education, they know where to be found.
Right.
It's all by this grace.
Amen.
So pride has to come down. And that's the one thing that God hates. One of the seven things of life.
Right.
Pride. That is the first thing of Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Lucifer became Satan. When you want to overthrow God out of pride.
Amen.
Yeah, and number two, just 1 second, I'm done. Just want to throw light on number two. What is the meaning of salvation? Have to go through suffering. You have to go through, you know, persecution. You have to go through embarrassment, disappointment, disgrace. Is it equal to what Jesus Christ went through on the cross?
Never.
That is what it's from. I don't say I have suffered. As a pastor, they sent me to village. I did this. I suffered. Is it? Nothing we have suffered can be equal. It's happy. We have to go through a lot of suffering.
Amen.
When we look at this number three that say, why would one pride tend to choose a worldly salvation? When we talk about pride, human nature has this egoistic mentality in us. Until we kill it, until we understand how it works, it's not going to take us to anywhere. In the sense that there are some people in the Bible that they already laid that foundation there. That we need to look at. And that is one of the major problem in the churches today, among the pastors. Like one day, pastor was saying that to allow him to preach in the have confidence in him. I don't even know him. People that practice it in the Bible, they did not fail. Jethro and Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah. And Elisha, they never failed. God, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Moses, Joshua. So things like that is just when you understand it, the serving is very, very important that you have to cool down your egoistic mentality. It will take you hard. And
people
slap you down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. We're gonna before we close, you have the handout, and it has day one, day two, and day three. If you want to take your time and actually go through it, so you actually have study guide continue, you are welcome, more than welcome to do so. If I can have one person to turn to. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17.
Colossians what?
Chapter 3. verses 12 through 17. Right. And then Pastor Ranga, you can read Titus 2, 11 through 14.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Colossians chapter 3, 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. 14. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell with you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen. You
said Titus there. Yes, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14.
11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and your Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And we have someone to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 32.
Ephesians
4. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 32.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind from before, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. 22. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. 27. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing is good, which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, for that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not to the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are saved unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil spirit, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
Amen. Amen. Now we're going to ask Pastor Bello to come up.
Just speak what was in my mind just now. Hallelujah. I'm just going to touch basis on two things. I'm going to touch based on the grace that we just talked about, and I will go to this Ephesians chapter 4. When we talk about grace, many of us, we don't understand what it means by grace of God. Grace of God is what every one of us will need. He already gave us the grace that we need. But if we keep on living in sin, we will not enjoy the grace. If we keep on not forgiving others, if we keep on believing in our heart, I am superior than that brother, I am superior than that sister, to enjoy the grace would be difficult. But once we believe that God has given everything to you, we will just see that things will start to move forward. Blessing will just follow us. Which leads to Psalm 23, verse 5 and 6. Goodness and mercy shall follow us
all the days of our lives.
God already prepared table for every one of us. We're just using flesh to think about, oh, that person is better than me, that person, oh, is wearing better clothes than me. No. What you are going to eat, God already prepared. What I am going to eat, God already prepared. Where you are going to be tomorrow, God already knows. Where I'm going to be tomorrow, God already knows. You don't need to jealous anybody. You don't need to envy anybody. Just face your career. Believe in God. 24/7, believe in Him. No matter how tough your situation, don't doubt Him. The moment you started doubting God, you are telling God, God cannot do it. If God cannot do it, He created us. I have never seen someone that just jump from the somewhere and say, hey, I'm 50 years old. No. Even Jesus Christ, the Bona, God's hand was on Jesus. So, as a child of God, we need grace to move to the next level. Let's look at the last Bible verse we just read, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful laws. What is the word of God telling us? How you do things in the past, you can't do it no more. You just have to put. You keep malice. You don't greet people. You have to bury that. You used to talk all the time. Talk about what is not important. You have to stop it. You don't serve God. You have to stop it. You have to serve Him. Spirit of loss. Washing what you are not supposed to wash. Going to the places that you are not supposed to be going to. Sending money for voodoo people to help you do some medicine. They are not working. They will give you something and take dirt from you.
Yes.
Then, 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind has to be renewed when you take strength. Let everything in your heart be positive. I was reading just a short story that Maya Angelou wrote today, and I was sharing it with my wife. We so believe in the lies that the enemy are telling us. We don't believe in the lie that we are telling ourselves. If I apply for that contract, they will not give it to me because I am not an American.
Right.
If I apply for that job, they are not going to give it to me because I got an accent. If I apply for that job, they are not going to give it to me because I'm from Ondo State.
Right.
If I apply for that job, they are not going to give it to me because I am short. It's a lie. Pastor wants to ordain people in the church. I'm not qualified because I'm going through some separation in my marriage. I'm going through some issue in my family. Nobody has ever even become pastor in my family that cannot become a pastor. It's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. Because somebody has never been in that position in your family, don't mean that you cannot be in that position. The day you change your mentality, how you think about it, is done.
Amen.
You can become anything. God already ordained you. 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not every time I say the spirit of God lives, the spirit that lives inside us is a man like us that lives inside us. We need to allow that spirit to operate. We allow the other spirit to go away. I use my case as a case study. Before, if I enter this place, we'll sit down here in the class. They ask me a question. Before I answer that question,
To even get up would be a shame for me. To talk, I can't talk. Before I say anything in the presence of God, I'll be so silly. It's like there's something pressing me down. You don't know it. If you give that answer, it's a wrong one. I will not be able to say anything. But when that spirit inside me come out, everything changes. Until you let that spirit, that change, what we need is just a change. Once we allow that change to just come out, it's done. You will find yourself in a place that you never dream of in life. 25. Wherefore, putting away lies, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Is it in the church or Sunday? I would say, when was the last time you say hello to your neighbor? It's the truth. Many people, they don't care about their neighbors. And it's not supposed to be like that. You should show love to people. I have lived in a place before my neighbor on the left. People turning in front of his, my visitor turning in front of his house. It's a townhouse. She will call police right away. I was a police officer then. I wore police uniform. Somebody came to see me. I was told it's not back again. She called police. On me, a police officer. You know, people should be careful what they do. But she was disgraced that day. Please, we should be friendly, most especially in the church. We should show love to everybody. We don't know who is going to come to the church one day and say, they are hiring at my job. We don't know who's going to say, I have this business opportunity. If you have done wrong to that person, you think that person will leave your hand up and take you to that place? You will not. We are supposed to be angel to one another. 27. Neither give place to the devil. Every one of us will give place to the devil every day. Sometimes we want to buy money order. We leave CVS, we leave everywhere, it's liquid store. That is where we go to buy our money order. The spirit of alcohol. When we get over there, we look. We don't drink no more, but we still look. When I used to drink that one. When I used to drink that one. Temptation will go. Nobody is there. Let me even buy a small one and take it over. We give room to the devil. Men, we look at other women and we think we are doing it right. Spirit of the devil. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We should not give devil chance in our life. And how can you do it? It's to be positive in your heart. Then 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needed. A lot of us, at one way or the other, are robber. Steal. When I say steal, Pastor just said something at your job. Time you're supposed to be there, you are not there. He's stealing. Oh, let me clock my card. He's stealing. But the Bible said, we should walk, then we give to those people who don't have what I need. Because from the little that we are making, if you pay your tithe, you pay your offering, God will multiply. That is the kind of God that we are serving. 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Word that will come from your mouth will be the word that will bless people.
You see, sister, come inside the church. How are you, sister? God bless you. You are at home. How are you, brother? God bless you. Every word that will come out of your mouth will be the word that will glorify Jesus. Not the word that causes. No. Then grace will multiply. There are some people who just tell them, God bless you. And they will say amen. They will receive it.
Yes.
If you will think you are praying a powerful prayer, it's a prayer. You are praying for them. Then 20. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are saved unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, I put it not in one, all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I can't keep malice. I'm telling you, I cannot keep malice. No matter how that thing is, after about 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, my conscience will be telling me, just let it go. I may not talk, but from my mind, it's I just look at it like vanity of the vanity. Vanity. If you fight somebody, you are not getting anything from it. If you don't fight, what is the purpose of you fighting? And what is the purpose of looking at somebody in mind and saying, I will not talk to that person for the rest of my life till I die? Who knows when we will die? Nobody knows. Hallelujah. In conclusion, and be you kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. I can imagine this. Do you know how many times we see it in Do you know how many times? Pastor said we tie the car, we throw it in front of us. Even pastor, we be trying somebody who does, we will not know when the word will come. You just have to ask God at all times to forgive them. We at all times there is to forgive. We see every second. In conclusion, I mentioned this on the prayer line yesterday. Guys, one prayer that I found out in the Bible that is so powerful. When somebody offends you and you vow that I will never forgive that person, you block your destiny. You block it completely. But when you open your heart, and forgive, blessing will flow in a new way. You just see things changing. Don't quote me wrong. People will want money from you, most especially those of us with accent from other countries. They will want money from you. You don't give it to them, you become their enemy. You can only do the little that you can do. If you don't have it, you don't have it. It's not a sin that your cousin, your nephew, they are asking for money overseas. You can't send it to them. It's not a sin. You don't have it. You are not going to see. If they, because of that, they say you are enemy, you are not the enemy. When you explain to them, if they agree, if they don't agree, just continue doing what you are doing. Don't keep anybody in mind. If somebody does something to you, go to that person and talk to that person. If that person is still feeling stubborn, just leave it. And go to God and say, God, Father, my conscience is clear. I don't have anything against this person. I show love to people. And you will see how God will bless you. in the name of Jesus. The blessing that you need, we move to the next level. God will give it to you.
Amen.
Let's rise on our feet and let's just pray to pray. To pray that one.
Lord Jesus,
teach me how to forgive.
Lord Jesus,
touch my heart. Teach me how to forgive. Lord Jesus, touch my heart. Teach me how to forgive. Teach me how to forgive. Lord Jesus, teach me how to forgive. Whatever God is to do, Lord Jesus, teach me, teach me, teach me how to forgive. Teach me, touch my heart, and teach me how to forgive. Teach me how to forgive. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In this prayer that we are going to pray, about grace. When grace of God is upon you in your life, I'm telling you, man, if we go to a point, you will know that, yes, something is happening in my life.
Amen.
You are going to pray. God of all grace.
God of all grace.
God of all grace.
God of all grace.
Visit me with your grace.
Visit me with your grace.
God of all grace.
God of all grace.
Visit me with your grace.
God of all grace.
Visit me. With your grace. With your grace. With your grace. God of all grace. Visit me with your grace. God of all grace. God of all grace. Visit me. Visit my family with your grace. Visit this ministry with your grace. God of all grace. Visit us with your grace. Visit us with your grace. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I pray for you today, God of all grace, we visit every area of your family,
Amen.
Every area of your life.
Amen.
God of all grace, we touch your life.
Amen.
Grace of God will rest upon you.
Amen.
We take you to something. We take you to the highest place. God of all grace, we direct you
Amen.
To the right course
Amen.
In the land of the living.
Amen.